Well, believe it or not, on average, a person spends an estimated 45 to 62 minutes a day waiting for things. Now, maybe that was pre-COVID, but on average, that's what people spend waiting for things. Waiting to fill our tanks with gas, waiting for elevators. We wait in line to purchase groceries at the store, to be seated at a restaurant, for an attendant at a bank, or to use the ATM machine. We wait at stop signs and traffic lights, in lines at amusement parks, and to vote. We wait through commercials and coming attractions. That's one type of stuff we wait for. We wait for others to get ready so we can get going. Some probably more than others. And over the course of 70 years, I've heard that we spend between 3 and 5 years just waiting. There's other kinds of waiting. We wait for babies to be born. We wait for wounds to heal, for children to mature, friends to call. We wait for love to deepen. Spiritually, we wait. We wait for deliverance, for maturity. We wait for heaven. We wait for Christ to return. And in all these things, it really comes down to what we do while we wait. And in one of Jesus' final words to us, he said, while we are waiting, he says, be ready. Be ready. The people in that time period, we call the Old Testament, they waited. They waited for God's promised Messiah. They waited for more than 4,000 years before Christ came. And only God knows how long we will have to wait before Christ returns as he promised. The Old Testament times, their time of waiting was characterized by various troubles and false hopes and impatience and unfaithfulness, persecution, violence, bloodshed, and good times as well. And Jesus made it clear on more than one occasion that it would be no different for us as New Testament believers. But because of the wait, the people became much more interested in the things of this earth than they were of spiritual things. And they started to look for just what they wanted and not for God's promise. People today, we're not really any different than that. We too tend to get overly focused on the things of the earth or the things of this world. And we are only fooling ourselves if we think that we're unaffected by the spirit of this age. So Jesus takes up this whole idea, this concept, this topic of being ready in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. It's his last week on earth. It's Holy Week. It's days before his death. He says in chapter 24, verse 42 of Matthew, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. So in other words, just act as if it's happening today. Act like it's today. We know that Christ will return. He promises that. But our life, as we know, can end at any time. We too will die. And this life on earth is not all there is. So what we do in the here and the now matters, and we should never lose focus of what is to come. And so to emphasize again the need to be ready and to think in terms of the future, Jesus tells this particular parable as our gospel lesson for today. Again, that parable in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. It's all about readiness. So he uses the context of a wedding. And for those people in that day, they understood the custom and the tradition would happen on wedding day. There was the groom, and he would leave his parents' home with a contingent of his friends, and a procession would start, and they would go and march to the home of the bride. The bride would come out, and everyone, they would come together. There would be the marriage ceremony, and then they would process to where the wedding banquet would be, the reception. And so the word would go out, okay, it's time, he's coming, and so the bridesmaids would go out and meet him and join that procession. And since it happened at night, it was an outdoor procession too, they needed light. So they needed their lamps, they needed their torches. And for the most part, they were like torches. They were like a long pole that was drenched in oil, had rags kind of wrapped around the top of it, and they would soak it in oil and it would burn. But as you can imagine too, that would kind of dry up after a while. They would have to have more oil for it to keep it going. But the whole idea here, be ready all the time because we don't know when it's going to happen. So here comes the story that Jesus kind of tells as a parable, an illustration. So he says there's 10 young girls, virgins. And it's obvious that he says some are more responsible than others. Now we don't know the tone in which Jesus told this. He was obviously serious, but maybe he had a little kind of humor he wanted to throw in to make a point here, the way he told the story. 5 of the young girls failed to bring any oil. They brought their torch, didn't bring any oil. And so the bridegroom's delay could have served, you know, that delay as an act of mercy. You got some time here, go out and get some oil. But what do? In today's terms, they would have just hung out laughing, talking, taking selfies, posting to Snapchat, Instagram, just hanging out, having a good old time together as young girls do. And all of a sudden, then they just got tired and fell asleep. Finally, though, the announcement comes, he's coming, they panic and say, we don't have any oil. Well, go out and get some. Yeah, good luck finding oil at midnight, all right? If it's even possible. They race back, start pounding on the door. It's closed, it's locked. Well, probably, of course it would be. And they just start knocking. And probably, maybe in some of these people that are hearing the story of Jesus, they're kind of amused. Yeah, I've seen this before. People acting like this. But in their minds, at that point in the story, as Jesus is telling the parable, they think, yeah, someone will get to the door. The girls say, yeah, we were kind of dumb. We didn't get the oil. And they'll be led in. There'll be apologies all over the place. And they'll come in and join the party. Everything will be fine. That's where their minds are going. Because that's kind of what would normally happen. But that's not how the story ended. And everything probably got very silent, very quiet, very sober. And it's not funny anymore. Because all of a sudden they hear, I don't know you. Wow. You see, God's coming always means both judgment and deliverance. You can never time God's coming. Because God, in fact, is always coming to us. But he doesn't come, in a sense, on our terms. He doesn't call us up and say, well, how can I work it out best for your schedule? He comes. Not according to our calendar or in line with our expectation. He comes and does his thing. So the question is, how ready are we? Readiness to meet him at any time? And at the end of life, or at the return of Jesus, it will be too late to get ready. So the idea is we must be spiritually prepared now. So the thought that some people have is, you know, there's always going to be time. And that's true, isn't it? There's always time. And we put things off. There's always time. Yeah, I'll get around to it. But it's not going to work. We are ready when our relationship with God is how it should be now. We have faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior now, today. See, here's the thing. I bet every one of us in some form or fashion has said at one time, if only. I look back at things I've said, if only. If only I'd got that project in when it was supposed to be in. If only I had made that phone call and called and talked to that person when I wanted to or should have. The if onlys of life. Sometimes it's really serious when we miss out on that. See, the parable points out the personal nature of our relationship with the Lord. The parable warns us to be wise and watchful, ready for his return. And it's not just lazily waiting, just kind of kick back and it'll happen when it happens. But it's a call to faithful waiting. And so you see the contrast between the wise who had that extra supply of oil and those who, didn't bring any. Carelessness in preparation. It's all about individual responsibility. And so that oil there, or faith, is not something you can kind of share. Well, you can cut your faith in half and share it with someone next to you. Or because of certain people that you know, or you know, relationships you have, you think that you can get some of theirs will rub off on you. No, it's do you have it or you don't? See, our commitment and desire to see Jesus face to face when he comes for us should encourage us to be prepared accordingly and appropriately. It's listening to the word. Because when we listen to the word, it develops a sense of urgency where we see our lives in the perspective of eternity and opportunities to share God's love and to share his word. And knowing the truth, because when we know the truth, it will help us to spot things that are false and things that are lies. It's staying in love. Jesus said, when I come, you know, the love of most will grow cold. You know, when you wait for certain things for so long, sometimes it just kind of, you just kind of start neglecting it, or it goes by the wayside. Our hearts can stray, be attracted to other things as we wait. So we can protect our hearts, in a sense, by regularly staying in contact and talking regularly and reading those letters of correspondence. That's, you know, kind of what worship is. That's what Bible reading is all about in prayer. And it's reminding ourselves of the mission, what we are doing and what the real purpose is in mind and what God's plan is. See, conversion must be coupled with faithful perseverance. It's not just you come to faith and then everything just take care of itself, but it's faithful perseverance, standing firm to the end. And then I think so important too, it's doing things with others. Doing things with others is a lot easier than going at it alone. Waiting with others is much easier than waiting alone. Back in the day when Disneyland was open, but even further than that, way, way back when, I've spent, maybe you have too, those marathon days where you get there when it opens like 9 in the morning, you stay till 1 in the morning, where you've done it all day long. I did so many of those things in my younger days. And I remember on a couple of occasions, because of the crowds, without exception, every single attraction, you waited between 45 minutes and an hour and a half for everything you went on that day. And you know what? I look back on those days, it's not like those were the worst days of my life. I don't even remember that. What I remember is what a great day it was because of who I was with. And hanging out with the people in line and talking with the people that you're with and watching things going on around you. That's what I remember. Not how awful of the experience it was. Great days because of who I was with. Yeah, we wait for what has been promised to us. But look at what we get to do. We get to wait with our friends. We wait with special people in our lives. And as we're waiting, we're loving, growing, serving, and reaching together. And that's the key. And together we can stand firm to the end. We can be there for each other. We support each other. We pray for each other. We study together. We pray together. All those things. Even through some really difficult times, it's how we get through and persevere to the end. So it's be ready, but be ready together. That's a beautiful thing. So the question comes, are we ready? Because it says in numerous places in Scripture, today. Today is the day. Now is the day of salvation. Always be prepared. Always be ready. always understand our need that we have for a Savior and what God has provided for us in and through His Son, Jesus, for our salvation. And what a beautiful thing when we can take that time as we wait for whatever that day is for us, that we can do it with others. That's the great gift. Well, now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.